Well, hello there. I'm Niall Boylan.
And I'm Karen Boylan.
And in case you're wondering where that voice came from, it didn't just come from the ether. That's my wife, my good lady wife.
My wonderful husband.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. I get very sappy all of a sudden, isn't it? When we started. Okay, the reason, of course, we're doing this podcast is the first episode. And you might have noticed that, like, last week, George Hook did an episode with me of the weekly roundup. And he was great, by the way. You can find that on my podcast on the website, niallboylan.com. The week before, of course, was AJ. Or actually, no, the week before wasn't AJ. And this is the reason why we're doing this right now. Because my good lady wife decided, even though she had never, ever done this before, that she was going to step in because AJ was on holidays. And she did such a great job. I said,
was thrown right in, wasn't
it? Yeah, at the deep end, at the deep end. Now, we were talking about news stories, obviously, because you're a news junkie anyway, the best of times.
Yeah.
So you know about all these things. Can I just point out, by the way, to be fair, I have to give credit to my wife because for the last 7, 8 years.
Nine. More.
Well, yeah, but particularly for the last 7 or 8 years, I suppose, more so when we've been, actually for the 3 years we're doing the podcast more so, you know, all of the topics that we come up with on a daily basis, most of the credit goes to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I'm sitting in the house, you know, doing something or whatever, and next minute I get a text from the toilet or from the kitchen or from the shower where she has just spotted another story.
Jeez, I'd like to think I'm not in the loo sending you messages.
You do. you know you do, right?
Oh, no.
Because she's a news junkie. She's obsessed. Particularly last year, of course, when Donald Trump was being elected as president of America. She was obsessed with the whole thing.
Do you know what it is, though? When you're addicted to news, it's hard to break that cycle because you're afraid. It's like a FOMO, isn't it? Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
You know, and the problem is that when our news kind of slows down in Ireland, it's really revving up in America because of the time zone difference.
Yeah.
So you're just afraid of missing out. And, you know, it's hard to get a bit of sleep, actually, sometimes.
Yeah, we do. By the way, we do have times where we don't look at phones and where we don't look at news.
But seldom is wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. But the reason we decided, firstly, that we would call it Don't Call Me Darling, because on the first episode that we did last week, which was part of the news story and the news roundup, Karen decided to just call me darling. And I said, don't call me darling.
Yeah, because kind of, you know, it's very unprofessional. I'm so used to calling it.
But you
darling.
Can call me darling now because that's the title. And by the way, can I say the title of this week's show? Because we have a title on each week's show.
Can I just please inform everybody here?
You didn't agree with it.
No, I had absolutely nothing to do with this.
No, you didn't agree with it.
I didn't even know about it till a few moments ago.
Yeah, well, you know now. And it's called My Husband is Wearing My Knickers.
I just don't know where he's going to take this. Oh, my God.
Now, it's nothing to do with me. Can I just clearly point out? So in case you start getting worried that I'm going through your drawers looking for your knickers or your bras. I'm sure your bra wouldn't fit me anyway. But in saying that, I am not going through your knickers looking for your Victoria's Secrets.
Niall Boylan, please.
Or your bra or your special sexy ones. All right, you know, those kind of things.
Wow.
You know, I'm not going through them looking
Leave
for them.
Leave my sexy underwear out of this.
No, it was actually a story we did on the show. Going back a good while ago from an email from a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she had said that she had her suspicions but couldn't confirm. And when she asked her husband, he came out and he admitted that while she was out...
This woman was very, very traumatised.
Yeah, she was traumatised.
This is a...
Yeah, he admitted. But here's the thing. He didn't only admit to wearing her knickers, which for some lads, I suppose, is a bit of a fetish thing, right? Not my bag, by the way. They're probably not even comfortable, right? So I wouldn't do anything for me. There's something weird about it, right? But he wasn't only wearing the knickers.
I can't believe we're talking about this.
Okay, but it's fair. I think it needs to be discussed. Wow. It's important. He was wearing her bra and he was wearing her lip gloss and her makeup and all this kind of stuff while she was out.
Can we just please leave the Burt's Bees out of this?
I know you love your Burt's Bees.
Probably one of the best lip balms out there is Burt's Bees.
Yeah, you have it there. See, look at it.
I do.
You're constantly putting it on you all the time.
I love it. Okay. I love the texture of it.
Yeah, it's nice for kissing, by the way, can I point out?
It's lovely.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
I'm the recipient of it every now and again. So anyway, and I end up with Burt's Bees on my lips.
That's too much information.
Okay, so she comes to him and she says, it's like, imagine if you were her, right? So I'm coming to say, listen, darling, I know you've been suspicious that I've been wearing your knickers.
Now, do you understand how difficult this is for me?
Yeah,
to try
I won't. But
but
just put yourself in that position, right?
I mean, the poor woman.
Okay,
God,
but I'm not
her.
The one wearing the knickers, so you needn't worry about it. But just put yourself in that position,
oh,
right?
Jesus, I don't
as this
know
poor woman,
again.
Right? So, hey, darling. Yeah, you've been right. I've been wearing your knickers.
Am I right in saying this lady?
We're never going to get the story out.
I know, but this lady was married to him for quite some time.
Oh, yes, she was.
I mean, this wasn't a case of...
They have two kids in 10 years marriage or something.
They really thought they knew each other?
Yeah, yeah.
And then out of the blue...
I'm wearing your knickers and your bra and your makeup. And I'd like you to support me in this. It's a thing I do. Now, I think, by the way, the backstory was he got it when he was... His mother dumped him with his granny. And he used to wear his granny's clothes when she wasn't looking. And then he never told his wife about this little thing he had.
Yeah.
And he was married 10 years and basically likes dressing up as women.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the next step is he's probably going to tell her he wants to be a woman, which is mad. Anyway, so would you...
Oh, gosh.
Let's just say he's not trying to fight, right? Would you accept that of a husband? Me being a husband, obviously.
No, I don't think I'd be able for it. I really don't.
I'd be out of the gap, so.
I think the poor chap needs maybe some assistance.
Like straight jacket?
Yeah, there are times when, there are some stories we get into the show, and there are times when I say to myself, my God, you know, those white straight jackets, you know, where they...
Oh, yeah.
Should they bring the Mac?
For some people. Like.
And then I say to myself, you know, God love him, maybe he's more to be pitied. But the poor woman, because she has a couple of kids there. She's been under this impression for many years that she knew everything about her husband. Mm. And then all of a sudden this possibility rises to the surface.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you protect your kids and everything? You know, do you start wondering, could this guy
imagine
not be...
the kids seeing
The poor kids.
Yes.
I mean, you know, so she's got a lot to bear there. And I think she needs to talk to somebody about it, maybe to ask for some sort of help, you know, but it wouldn't be something I'd be putting up with.
Nah.
I'm just warning.
They used to be called transvestites in the day, back in the day. Like
pretty harmless. Yeah,
I used to hang around with a guy years ago in Richmond Road, right? Mm-hmm. And his brother Rob was telling us this story. And we've seen the guy actually, because we used to look out the window at night. And there was a guy across the road. It was like a little cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy across the road used to come out at night in his wife's clothes. And he came out this particular night in like a red number, you know, with a handbag and the wig on him and high heels and walk up. And it was dark, like, so nobody'd see him, well, apart from us because we were looking. And he'd walk up and down the road. We used to call him Tootsie.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I have this image
from the movie.
In my head.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman, Tootsie, yeah.
He's a fantastic actor, but yeah, I mean...
But his acting is
a
difference. He's been paid to do it.
Exactly.
Okay, so Rob was one day talking to your man's wife, lovely woman, right? And she was chatting away, as you do, you know, you'd be just chatting to the neighbour. And she was in good form, and he said, oh, he's in good form. And she said, yeah, I'm heading to a wedding at the weekend. And he said, really? Yeah. She said, yeah, I got myself a lovely new dress. And Rob turned around and said, yeah, I seen her and your husband the other night.
Oh my God, you'd die, wouldn't you?
I said, that was the end of the marriage.
Oh dear,
yeah.
Oh dear, dear.
Like, what would you do if you found out... Like your husband was swanning up and down the road in your knickers and your clothes.
There's something terribly sad about the story you just said there, you know. But I mean, when I was a kid, you used to see the odd guy. The very, very odd person, you know. And you'd never really thought anything of it except that they might have maybe a screw loose. You know, but they looked and they appeared to be pretty harmless. But there has to be something deeper there. And, you know, and listen, what people...
Well, it's been normalised kind of now, hasn't it?
Now it has been. Now it's been normalised to the extreme.
Not for me, yeah.
I mean, there was recent events there, as we know, going back last month. And, I mean, you don't want to see a whole host of a couple of hundred degenerates walking down the street marching in their nip as well.
It was lads in their nip, yeah.
You know, and in front of children. I mean, get a life, get a grip. I mean, if you and I had done that, you'd be arrested.
Yeah.
So why do these people get an exemption there?
Yeah.
So like,
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm all for pride and gay people being out and you know, we've lots of gay friends and I spoke to one of them there recently. We interviewed one recently.
We have tons of gay friends.
And that's not just cliche, by the way. But like, and they're the very ones that say to us, I would have nothing
absolutely
to do with those marches
with
where people are walking around
very
half naked.
So. I mean, what about the poor children? And it's the double standards. It's like two-tier policing, isn't it?
Yeah, but what they're doing is they're stereotyping that every kind of gay man wants to dress like a woman, which is
completely untrue.
No, it's
completely untrue.
Anyway, so you're not, I'm not going to be telling you very soon that I'm wearing your knickers because I'm not wearing your knickers.
No, I know. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I have a little story to tell you. So this was something, I know we said we wouldn't really go down the media route here, but there was a story that came across my desk there the other day, and it was regarding a speeding driver in Kildare.
Okay.
Now, he blamed his sick baby for basically driving, I think it was 180 kilometres an hour.
Right.
On 100 kilometres an hour.
What's that in miles?
Okay, so it's 111 miles an hour.
Because I never, my brain has never changed to kilometres. Has yours?
No, I mean, how I do it is, I'm old fashioned that way. I'm still in miles per hour. You're not going to change me with all your EU regs. You're not going to change me. I'm always in miles per
hour. So you're looking at the clock, calculating.
Exactly.
Into miles.
Well, I mean, you know the way a lot of speedometers now, they have both, you know, but if you're stuck, just divide by 8 and multiply by 5, and
that's
that'll more or less get you there, So 111 miles per hour, he was doing 180 and 100 kilometre, which is 60 miles an hour, 62 miles an hour, if you want to be precise, on a stretch of road in Kildare, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to get out of the speeding ticket desperately, so the guards pulled him over. He said, and he claimed, that he was rushing his sick child to the hospital, the sick baby, actually, to be, yeah.
Right, okay.
Okay, so...
Which is a good enough reason, in fairness.
Oh, I mean, let's be honest about it. Sick baby, who's going to argue with that?
Yeah, sure, if I was a cop, I'd say, come on, follow me.
Come on, you know, let me help you. I'll give you an escort here. But when he was pulled over by the Gardaí, and this is it, the Gardaí discovered that the baby in the car was nothing more than a realistic-looking doll.
He was using this as a way of speeding constantly by using the baby, the doll.
Just, you know, one of those realistic baby dolls that look like a real baby?
Oh, they're weird.
Yeah, they're kind of creepy looking, you know? Yeah. So anyway, further checks down the line, the guards discovered that he'd no insurance, he'd no NCT, he'd no motor
tax. The book at him.
And he had a badly worn tyre, apparently, as well.
Have you ever driven too fast in a car?
I have, yes. And I tell you what, I don't know anyone who hasn't.
Right, on a racetrack, maybe.
Well, yeah, I've driven very fast. You know I like speed.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I actually love it. I love my go-kart racing and all that jazz.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at it, but I do love it.
I did quite well at the go-kart racing last year. Do you remember that?
You did.
Yeah. Bit of a champ.
I got a trophy
in the go-kart race.
Go you.
Yes.
Go you. Yeah. Well done.
But here's the thing. I had a bit of a need for speed when I was younger. I used to do motorbike racing.
Mm-hmm.
I did motocross and I did sidecar racing, and I was a bit of a thick and a bit of an irresponsible loony. That's why I haven't driven a motorbike in over 35, 40 years, because if I do, I'd kill myself.
Well, with age comes wisdom, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So you know? I was caught in Drogheda, coming from Drogheda to Dublin on the old road. This is the old M or A1.
Oh, before the M1?
Before the M1 was built, yeah. And this guard pulled me over at 130 miles an hour. It was an old BMW 8.
That was a fantastic stretch of road, though, were you talking about?
Yeah, coming out of Drogheda towards Balbriggan and the Skerries or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Which is in the news a lot lately. Anyway, we'll come back to that. But so he pulled me over. But in those days, guards kind of had a bit more discretion. I don't know whether he felt sorry for me or something like that. But anyway, he could have just taken me license and tore it up and threw it away there, and then I would have lost my license. Nowadays, you'd probably lose your license for something like that. But he kind of just started giving me a lecture and shouting at me and giving out to me, and I was quite young. And then he got into the car beside me and started saying, "No, I've been in accidents. I was only in an accident there last week, and this fellow, young lad, lost his arm, and you no idea what you're doing." And, and
he was right.
But it kind of worked. Yeah. Frightened the shite out of me.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it should.
And he didn't, now in fairness, he didn't convict me. He didn't bring me to court. But there was no penalty points in those days. He didn't give me any penalty points or anything like that. I don't agree with penalty points.
One reckless decision can destroy lives. Mm. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
But that's the type of policing that works.
Yeah.
You know, one-to-one policing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Give you a bollocking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I ever catch you again, you're done.
And then the fear of obviously losing your license and everything else that comes along with that, you know.
Yeah.
What attracted me, I thought was very, very odd about this story was, you know, I was thinking to myself, what sort of a guy has one of these makey-up dollies or whatever in the back of the car pretending that it's a baby? I mean, does he do this regularly in the hopes that he'll get away with speeding, or was it just a once-off? In which case, if it was a once-off kind of speeding frenzy, he would have had to come up and think very, very quickly on his feet to the guards when they said, you know, well, listen, you've been clocked at XYZ, you know, why are you doing that? I mean, wow.
Yeah. That's odd, isn't it? Yeah. Well, look, by the way, there should be exemptions. If it is a woman in labour who's...
Woman in labour, yeah, very much
all over
so.
The car, you know what I mean?
Who's been very, very badly injured and you're trying to help him get to the hospital.
I have an image now of a woman's water breaking in my car. I've been going mad. Destroy the carpet.
No, not really. No, it's only water.
It's not really water. It's stuff, isn't it?
It's not stuff, no. No, it's not.
Shh.
No, it's not stuff.
All over your car, like. There's loads of women have given birth in a car.
Stop.
There's loads of women have given birth in a car.
Yeah, I know.
There has to be blood and everything all over your... Yeah, can't be destroyed.
Not necessarily.
No, you'd be saying to her, all right, love, look, I know it's kind of movie stuff, you know, like having Bert in the car. Let's bring you out onto the pavement, just in case.
Niall, you know, you deserve a clip around the ear. If there was a woman there and she was with you...
Can we just... Hold on, I just get a towel out of the boot there, you know what I mean? Can you not just... Oh, put that away.
This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals Weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
Hey. Oh, stop.
Yeah, by the way, that's it. In relation to childbirth, right? They say it's the most beautiful thing in the world, right?
It's wonderful. If you're blessed enough.
Now, from a man's point of view, and I know the women love the men to be there and everything else, right? It's not really the most beautiful thing in the world, is it? It's like watching surgery.
Where you're standing, doesn't it?
Like, if I said to you, come on in and watch open heart surgery, like, you wouldn't.
No, I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
There's a lot more blood in childbirth. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I mean, listen, most men.
It's a bit of a mess, in fairness.
If they're going to be right down between the legs of the person standing behind, Jesus. You know, the midwife or whatever, they're going to get an eyeful, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. The you head know? Coming out and all that, carry on.
Yeah, but that's all part and parcel of life, isn't it? You know, but I mean, there's nothing stopping you from standing up at the side.
But then what's the point of being there then if you're not going to be there watching the whole carry on? And these lads, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. No, it's not. It's like looking at a butcher's window. It really isn't the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. There's more beautiful things in the world than watching a baby coming out from between a woman's legs.
I think we need to move swiftly along here.
I'm just saying. Okay, by the way, there was an interesting article there in relation to bank accounts, right?
Oh.
And more younger people are now retaining separate bank accounts because the research shows many still avoid discussing money as well. Some believe financial independence prevents arguments, while others think marriage should mean sharing everything. So it is a kind of thing of the past, isn't it? Unless you have a mortgage, of course. If you have a mortgage, you have a joint bank account mortgage and you both put money into that for the thing. But it is like the whole idea of... Years ago, when people got married, they automatically closed their single accounts and created a joint account.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. Did they? Yeah, most people did. I think a lot of people did anyway. I mean, listen,
it depends on what era, what decade you're going back to, you know. I have kind of vague memories of maybe recklessness going on in the 80s where the husband may have been in control of the money all the time and may have been buying things that he shouldn't have maybe been buying, you know,
while
bills weren't being paid.
What was he buying?
Around the house, you know.
What were the men buying?
Well, I'm only saying, like, I've just these vague recollections.
I'm just wondering what men were buying that women didn't really agree with. What, like toys and things for their cars?
Maybe they had a hobby, because a lot of people couldn't afford a car in those days.
Ah, right, okay.
You know, let's be honest about it. So I think it depends on what decade
fish
we're referring
tanks.
To. Fish tanks. Yeah, well, they cost money.
Yeah, you know? I thought you were going to give out about me fish. Thought you were going to give out about me fish tank.
No, it's really good for your health. You've actually got a very a great talent for creating your
me fish tank,
your little fish world,
fish emporium. Yeah, but so I think separate accounts are important for a level of independence. But I think it's also important that there's transparency. Like, I would hate to think that a couple would be in a relationship, and one would have, you know, like $100,000 in his account and the other one would have no idea how much he has and the two of them, you know, comparably skimped.
It would be a hell of a shock to the system if you discovered when you were in need of something that your husband had a good
and just never said that.
And actually let you struggle on for something maybe you may have had an issue with. You know, now, I'm a firm believer, as you know, in the JIC fund.
Now, not to be confused with the Runaway Fund.
No, and this is it. It's a very important difference. The JIC is the Just In Case Fund. You know, a few bob, whatever you can spare, throw it into the JIC fund every week.
Rainy day.
And that's really what it is. It's for an unexpected maybe event, an unexpected bill, maybe an unexpected visit from somebody.
You can do that in Revolut now, can't you? You can have a little separate account.
Yeah, you have these things called pockets, and I think the Bank of Ireland are starting to copy them now with
Bank of Ireland copying everything from Revolut now.
You know, and these little pockets, they'd be handy, you know, if you want to just put a few bob aside Not so much for the rainy day, but more so just in the eventuality of a
Bank of Ireland,
unexpected
the and AIB, the rest of them. Well, I don't know much about AIB, certainly Bank of Ireland. I can only speak for that because that's my Bank of Ireland.
No, I would stress it's not a runaway fund. A runaway fund would indicate to me and certainly suggest that, you know, you're intending on the possibility that you may actually have to leg it out of your relationship.
Well, if you're at that point,
some stage, if you, case, why did you bother getting married in the first place?
Well, if you need a runaway fund or you think you start to need a runaway fund, you're probably better off out of that relationship.
And if you take marriage out of it altogether and it's just a long-term relationship or whatever, we all know we can't just generalise here. It has to be, there are certain relationships out there where some poor unfortunates that are
pleased
in abusive relationships. And this is why it's so important that we retain cash in society. If you have a digital situation constantly, the amount of abuse that that's open to is unreal. Mm. And control, especially in a situation where maybe you have somebody who is trying to escape an abusive relationship. They know every penny that's been spent. You can't literally breathe, you know. Mm. So cash is very, very important.
King.
It is and always will be king. I mean, do you not remember what it was like when we all had to deal with pumps?
Wads.
You know, you actually felt like you had a few bob. Now, I just don't know. Everything's just so digital now.
Yeah, we don't have the same value on money because we don't see it.
Handy.
Yeah, we don't see it disappearing from our pockets.
Do you remember when Tap and Go came in a couple of years ago?
Nobody trusted it.
Jesus, no one trusted it, and rightly so. But within a week or two, everyone was getting used to it. And it's just mind-blowing because you just don't know how
And they've changed the limit. At the start, the limit was 20 quid. Then it went to 50. Then it went to 100. And now you can tap. I've never been stopped from tapping. So I think I bought something there recently for 150 quid and you could tap.
Yeah, I think I've been asked twice to insert my card.
That's rare nowadays.
Yeah.
It's kind of dangerous, isn't it, now that you can tap for that much money?
It is, because, I mean, Jesus, my cry always was, you know, if somebody robs your handbag, let's say, and your cards are inside it, they can just go on a tapping spree.
Mm.
And if it doesn't tap, they'll just run on to the next door until they see what they can get.
No, I don't mind the tapping on your phone, because your phone has to see your face.
Yeah.
But when you're tapping your card, maybe there is, because I don't know, because I have my cards in my pocket, right, in a little wallety thing. But I don't use them. I haven't used them in months.
That was a bit of good news, actually, that came about. Now, let's see if he sticks to it. So tomorrow, as we're recording now on a Sunday, Andy Burnham is going to become British Prime Minister, which I think he's the sixth Prime Minister now in 10 years.
Now, and you told me he's a big lefty.
Ah, he's huge. He's worse
than
but
here. he seems to be pacifying all the right wing.
All talk.
Okay, so.
All talk. Don't believe a word out of his mouth.
Okay, so you're going to say.
He hasn't even started yet.
Okay, so you're going to tell me he did say he's going to get rid of the digital ID.
This is what the memo is going out, that they expect him to make that announcement, yeah.
And the other thing as well is he's now going to reopen North Sea Oil. Drill baby, drill baby, drill.
Fantastic if he does.
And Trump is thrilled. Okay, because that's one of Trump's things. He said Britain needs to have its own oil.
Always remember with Trump, even when you see him lapping up somebody and, you know, praising them and all the rest, he's quite well aware. There was a lot of praise as well for Micheál Martin.
But he.
Oh, there was.
I didn't think any praise ever for Micheál Martin.
Yeah, no, not from Micheál, but from Trump.
From Trump to Micheál.
Yeah, yeah. But he knows fine well what's going on.
Trump didn't even know our president's name. He doesn't care. He said he was a bloke.
There's a lot of people don't know our president's name.
And they're probably better off, in fairness.
Probably.
But, by the way, I don't consider her my president.
No, I mean, mine neither.
No.
You know.
She doesn't represent my
That
views.
Was a disgrace, you know.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. She's, you know, she's socialist, communist, whatever words you want to use.
Well,
she's,
we all know socialism doesn't work.
No.
She's, you know, let's not be
unrepresentative of the views of most of the people in this country, I personally believe. Anyway, so, but I think, and by the way,
I'd love somebody to try and challenge me on this. Just give me one example of where socialism works anywhere.
There isn't any.
There are no living examples anywhere on the planet.
No,
so
work.
Just, you know, stop trying to cut us all with your bull. Anyway, I have another story here for you. Now, I know I said I'd try and kind of avoid the news stories, but I thought that part of this, it was a very serious event happened on a recent Ryanair flight. It was a guy from Serbia. He was nearly sucked out of the window.
I saw the picture of him hanging his head out the window.
Somewhere like kind of from the chest up was hanging out the window, apparently, you know. Mm. and it basically something detached from its engine and
smashed the window.
Now, luckily, the man had a seatbelt on, but I know that there was a lady sitting beside him as well, and she held his hand. You know, but the man is trying to, like, he's literally getting sucked out of the window. And then his wife, God bless her.
Didn't know what you were saying. You were telling me there's a woman sitting beside him and he was getting sucked. Listen, I didn't know what you meant by that.
He was very, no, oh, please, no, don't.
I'm only saying, like, yeah, that's what you said. There was a lady sitting beside him and he was getting sucked.
Sucked out of the window.
I know. You know, added out the window afterwards.
Picture the scene. So this thing has basically banged off the window, managed to crack the window.
Yeah, sucked
somehow,
him.
And managed to suck the passenger halfway out. Half of his body's hanging out of the plane.
He ended up in hospital with frostbite and damage to his eyes.
Very, very severe burns.
He's a 20,000 fleet at 700 miles an hour, yeah, with his head out the window.
I mean, the man is traumatized, bless him, you know. But there was three people trying to pull him back inside. All the oxygen masks dropped from the ceiling the plane, you know, and all the rest. And I know at one stage someone tried to block the gap of the window with a suitcase, and then that got sucked out as well,
yeah,
you know. But it was something that his wife said later on, you know, which I thought was kind of endearing. You know, she said, she immediately reacted and grabbed her husband's legs, bless him. She said, I thought, if we die, we die together. What a sweet thing to say, you know.
Anyway, that'd be like us. I know, we're sappy like that.
Yeah, we are. I know.
Yeah.
We actually got given out to last night for PDA, didn't we?
We did, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with PDAs.
No, PDAs is a good thing.
Yeah. But I just thought that was a very sweet thing for her to say. And I hope the man is on the road to recovery. Bless
him. Here's an interesting. When should your adult children leave the home?
Okay.
So there was a recent Irish Advice column which featured a parent who loves their four children, by the way, but is desperate. They're all adult children. We're desperate for them all to move out. They're all over the age of 21. And, of course, Ireland's housing crisis has kind of been blamed on the fact that kids are now not moving out of the house. I accept that to some degree.
To some degree, yeah. You want an actual age? I would like to think that even before the housing crisis, you have a couple of years and, you know, you're kind of in that teenage stage where I know when I was that age, I was dying to leave the nest at 16. Now, I'm not saying that that's an appropriate age to leave at, because it's not, especially in this day and age. But you should have a good, reasonable idea of when and how you're going to do it, if you can. Housing crisis aside, okay, because I'll probably get slated for this, but I don't care. You know, the bottom line is, the age of 21, I think you should be well on your way to getting your own pad or whatever it is, you know.
But they don't want to. The problem with young people now is they don't really want to make an effort.
But they're not bad. And they're not bad business people.
No, they are.
It's very selfish. They're basically saying to themselves, I can save here a lot of money here by clocking with my parents to Grattan.
See, the problem with them is, in our day, right, you would get accommodation.
Well, we were go-getters.
And you'd live on your beans and toast, right? Okay, and your pizzas. But we didn't even have pizzas.
No.
But nowadays, right, young people now have to have enough money for their mobile phone, for their Spotify account, their Netflix account, their holiday once a year.
Fund it yourself.
Yeah, but they need all this. So this is why they won't leave. Because they want to be, because the money they get every year goes to all those stuff that we didn't have.
But they are luxuries, not necessities.
Oh, you're joking me.
No, I'm not.
Nowadays, for young people, the very idea of not having Netflix or a mobile phone would be disastrous.
Tough.
Disastrous.
Tough.
Or Spotify, another 120 quid a year, whatever it is a year.
Listen to Spotify with the ads and you'd be grand.
Now, mind you, we bought records.
Cost you nothing.
We bought records. Mm-hmm. But the thing about us is we could buy the ones we liked. We just didn't pay a blanket fee, you know, for every record.
Mm-hmm.
No? They have a kind of better deal, haven't they, nowadays, I suppose. We had to buy one album, which was like 10 quid or something.
Yeah, it would have been a considered purchase in those days.
Yeah, that's why people were interested in single artists rather than music in general.
Like, I mean, I was working from the age of 13. I had a Saturday job, I had a Sunday job.
Mm. I never asked my parents for a penny over the age of 16.
I mean, neither. And I mean, I was always working. I've never stopped.
So are kids today selfish?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
I'd like to think now there are some that aren't, you know. I mean, obviously we don't want to put them all in the one boat, but it certainly appears that way.
They're only with you for what you can do for them.
Yeah, I mean, they're ever so helpful when they know that something they can gain out of it.
if it's not, if they don't have a personal gain, well, then they won't do
it. Oh, the personal gain isn't there. You haven't a hope of getting them to clean their room, to do a bit of hoovering, dusting.
Nothing. Unless there's something in it for them.
Absolutely. You haven't a hope. I mean, it's actually very, very sad.
Mm.
You know, because work is good for you.
Oh, it is, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Mm. Go ahead.
Right, okay, well. Something brought me back to this thing that I remembered from many years ago. Do you remember the Big Boys Toys show?
Yes, in the RDS. Remember right. Well, yeah.
Well, this Toys for Big Boys, it launched in 2002.
Are you telling me it's back?
I'd love it to come back, but it probably wouldn't have the same kind of response that it used to have. You know, it was created in 2002 and it came to Dublin's RDS, and it was kind of billed as Ireland's ultimate lifestyle exhibition for adults rather than children. But I mean, most of us brought our kids to it anyway.
It was good.
It was really a case of daddies and their kids thing, mostly men, in fairness.
Yeah, I brought my kids to it.
Yeah, and the show, it quickly became one of Ireland's biggest consumer events, and it used to attract, like, I think...
Did it run for many years?
20,000 to 30,000 a year. Jesus, it ran for a fair amount of years.
Okay.
I'll have to look into that.
I remember going to all of those shows. Do you remember like the holiday show, the spring show?
Yeah.
The Ideal Homes exhibition.
Yeah, Modern Homes exhibition.
Modern Homes exhibition.
Brighter Homes exhibition.
Brighter Homes exhibition. All these exhibitions.
Yeah,
which were
shows.
Which weren't actually shows at all. You paid in to buy stuff.
Yeah.
And there was like English motormouths there selling all the latest, you know those lads who do the whole, hold on to your money, missus, I'm going to give you a bit of offer. You go get this for the car and for the camper, I'll throw it all in for the same price. Watch this, it makes the dirt disappear off your clothes and magically dirt disappears off clothes and stuff. And
well, you see,
none of it ever really worked.
It was the chance to get up and close, in certainly in the Toys for Big Boys now, which is totally different to the shows you're referring to. I know the Toys of the Big Boys, that was like supercars, super yachts, your chance to see all these things that you which just wouldn't get.
Remote controlled helicopters, I bought one year.
They were amazing, all of those things, although, until you got them home and realized I don't have any space for this in the house. You know,
it doesn't actually work the way the lad in the shop showed me.
With Irish weather, most of the time it's quite windy, you know, so the old helicopter isn't going to work too well in the the back garden or whatever, you know. But it was mostly things that people would dream about owning, you know, that never probably could. And then, of course, you had visitors. They'd always try out virtual reality stuffs and things like that, gaming technology, which was streets years ahead of its time, you know, simulators, all that jazz, you know. So it was more of an experience.
I remember when my dad bought, that was probably before that, but we had a radiogram. He knew a guy in Ferguson. Do you remember Ferguson?
Yeah.
I don't think, they're not around anymore, are they?
I haven't heard of Ferguson in years.
Like pie.
Like Bosch?
Bosch.
Yeah.
A Bosch is still around, they make tools.
Bosch and Bush.
Oh, Bush.
Do you remember Bush?
Bush televisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this is a Ferguson.
What was your first TV? Can you remember?
Grundig, I think.
Ours was a Scantic.
Scantic.
Yeah, it was like my dad was always into all these unusual, weird and wacky names, you know, and he'd come in with technology and, you know, it wouldn't be branded like Sony and all of that. I don't even know what Sony was about then.
Yeah, I think it was Grundig or it could have been Pi. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Pi was PYE, wasn't it?
PYE, that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, so he knew a guy who worked in Ferguson. And at the time, 3-in-1s had just come out. Now, that's nothing to do with chips, by the way, in a chipper, because nowadays they've got that 3-in-1. So this was basically a radio, a tape recorder, and
a record player.
All in one unit.
They were fab.
With a built-in amplifier and two speakers,
They looked good as well.
Yeah. And he got a Ferguson one. It was reduced from 700 quid on the last day of one of the shows.
Some money in those
to 300
days.
Quid. But when you think about it, you'd buy that now for like 50 quid.
Yeah.
Right? So like it was mad money when you think that this is 50 years ago, right? And on the last day of the show, they would sell the stuff off from the stand that had been used all weekend.
That was the best time to get a bargain, come back in the last day.
And my dad got this 3-in-1 and brought it home. And I remember he bought, how long ago, the album Boney M, Knife Flight to Venus.
Right.
Knife Flight to Venus.
I don't know that song.
By the rivers of Babylon.
Oh, well, I know
Babylon.
That one. Yeah. Yeah.
And rah, Rasputin. So he used to play this. And then my dad bought a whole album collection of Frank Sinatra. And you'd wake up on a Sunday morning and you'd hear Burt Bacharach. Herb Albert. Yeah.
Herb Albert, I think was his name.
And he'd be downstairs making the fry. And then you'd hear Shirley Bassey. This is my life.
Oh my God. That reminds me of your one.
Oh, the Irish one. What's the story, by the way? So she left Tesco's and she won the whatever
this
it was.
Mary something.
Where Mary Byrne.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but when she sang it with a bit of an Irish accent.
She did.
She was like, this is my life.
Yeah, she had a powerful voice, in fairness to her.
But it was, this is my life. Yeah. This is my life. Okay. Anyway, where was it going? Yeah, so we got our radiogram. We got our radiogram. And the point I was making is, and I even bought some grass, not the type that you smoke, the ordinary grass.
Roll up grass.
Yeah, at the spring show, 1 year off a fella I knew. So you'd get a bargain if you knew somebody on the stands.
That's all very expensive now, you know that? Mm. There's like fancy names for it now.
What?
You know?
Grass?
There's grass stuff that you roll up and out on your patio.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine got some recently.
This is real grass.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Like turf.
Turf. It came out of the sod. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was roll up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like
very
a roll
heavy.
Of it. Mm. Anyway, yeah.
But you mentioned the spring show there. Now, would you believe that began in 1831 at the RDS.
Jesus.
So it's one of Ireland's oldest and most important agricultural events at the time in its day, you know. And apparently it originally was held at Leinster House before moving to Ballsbridge in 1881.
Leinster House?
Yeah, yeah. The original spring show. That was before my time at Mayfair.
Well, like in government buildings.
Yeah, absolutely.
They probably got more done than they're getting done at the moment, anyway.
The history behind it. So the show's main purpose was to improve Irish farming, showcasing the country's best cattle, sheep, horses, livestock breeding, alongside the latest farming methods and machinery, which is like years ahead of itself, you know.
Yeah.
And farmers would have come from all over.
Like that other big one. What's that big one? The ploughing.
The ploughing match, yeah.
Yeah, ploughing.
Run by the Army.
Ploughing championships.
The ploughing match, yeah, as it's affectionately known. Yeah, it's run by the Irish Farmers Association every year. And certainly in the days when I was associated with it, it was run by a lovely lady called Anna May McHugh. Mm. And I believe her daughter is now running it.
Right. Still going.
It's probably the largest agricultural event in the country.
Mm, probably one of the largest in Europe at this stage.
It's a wonderful family day out. You can make a weekend out of it even, you know.
Yeah, but the weather, the only problem with these things is the weather has to be good.
People expect that though at the ploughing, you know.
Yeah, and if the weather's not good, that's the end. It's game over, isn't
it?
It
attracts tens of thousands of visitors every year.
Hail, rain or shine.
You know? But it was always those gadgets that you would buy at
Last year or the year before it was a washout, remember? It was in the middle of storm.
Do you remember
Storm Gadget? What was his name? Storm Euphelia or Euphalia or something?
I remember Storm Euphelia. Yeah, I've still got the pain in my neck to prove it.
Yeah. Was Storm Euphelia not during the ploughing?
Storm Euphelia. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, but I mean. A lot of people go to these shows, you know, not just for the day out and for the experience, but to buy gadgets in those days that you wouldn't have known about. It was pre-internet times. So, I mean, can you remember any of the gadgets you used to buy?
Yeah, I used to go and get liquid mare, which for polishing my car was in a blue bottle. You could only get it at the shows. I used to actually go to the show just to get it.
Now, a guy called Neil Tipping had the rights to that in Ireland.
Right. You seem to know an awful lot about this stuff.
I do, because I worked on the show circuit for many, many years.
Right.
Yeah.
So Neil Tipping was liquid mare.
That's right, yeah.
They were British, were they, I imagine?
Yeah, they were. They were indeed. But liquid mare was one of the few products that actually worked.
Right, it was a polish for those who didn't know, car polish.
So if you picture, you'd have this lovely glossy red bonnet.
Red bonnet. It was a very small red bonnet, mind you.
And it would be sitting on the desk in front of the audience, let's say, you know, and you'd have this guy demonstrating it.
With a crayon on it and all sorts of things.
Yeah, you'd get the base of a runner and he'd scuff the life out of it. So, you know, if you do that with a white car, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Get the base of a runner and you'll have this massive black scuff mark going down the front.
And then he'd set fire to it.
Pour the liquid
lighter fuel
on, yeah.
Set fire to it.
So it was all very effective, visual and whatever.
Yeah, and then he'd put a bit of mare on it and Bob's your uncle.
Listen, the gloss, the lacquer never penetrated the fire.
But they used to make up these lines like, it has something like 300 luminescence of showroom shine. And I'm going, is that even a measurement?
Well, there you go. Yeah, the surfactants was another one that they used to talk about, you know, where the dirt and the grit would be raised to the surface, you know, which is all bull. But nevertheless, I mean, the fire trick, which was very, very good, it sold like instantly. As soon as anyone saw the fire and it didn't penetrate, penetrate the lacquer on the front of the bonnet.
Yeah.
Then,
but you can put lighter fuel on your hand and set fire to it, and it won't burn you. I'm not suggesting people test it out. But if you, when we were kids, every young fella knows this who's listening. You used to get your dad's aftershave, put it in your hand, and set it on fire.
I've heard you saying this before, but I mean, I didn't do that.
No, and it's like a blue.
I don't know any.
It's like a blue flame. It's called a cold flame.
That's just dreadfully dangerous. Yeah.
Now
you know?
You'd be very careful. It does actually after a couple of. But if you do it and go, oh look, and then blow it out, it's fine.
So Mare was your favorite product, you know,
liquid Mare.
One of the most famous products at the shows and exhibitions. A lot of people will remember this, and a lot of people probably still have them in their cupboards. Was the V Slicer? So the V Slicer was made in Germany, and. West Germany, I think you had to be politically correct in saying that at the time. Mm-hmm. And there were two versions of it. One was orange, which was the best.
Slice and dice.
Yeah, you would slice, you would dice. You know, it was a mandolin, so a very sharp V.
Yeah.
And you had to use the guard.
I was going to say, there was a little gadget with four pins in it.
Yeah, so if you wanted to slice a potato and make crisps, let's say, you can have a thick and a thin. I can see you're cringing.
I am, because I'm thinking of the person who didn't use the gadget and went to do their potato and took the knuckles off themselves.
Lots of people did that. I mean, that was the most important thing. But you know what? The actual gadget itself was superb. You know, it really works, you know. Mm. I still have mine after all these years.
Yeah, but
mine's about 30 years old.
I've never seen you use it in Paris.
I do use it occasionally.
How long do I know you? 10 years.
Yeah.
I've never seen you use it.
Right.
So it's been in the, so you're telling me it's in the press. It's been in the press for 10 years.
We've got two of them.
Yeah, that's like people who have toasters and not toasters, you know, those sandwich makers and food processors.
People buy food processors thinking they're going to use them. Unless you're a baker, you probably won't bother.
Or a sandwich maker. How many people have Breville sandwich makers? Or that other geezer, the boxer.
Guilty.
What's the boxer fella?
Oh,
grill.
My God.
The George Foreman grill.
Yeah.
How many people have them and have never used them?
And there was another guy, Jack Lalanne.
The juicer.
The juicer. And I mean, that guy lived to about 100 knots.
But I used to love them programs. Remember the infomercial they were on at night?
Yeah.
And Jack had come out like 80 in his tracksuit and he was doing pull-ups on
That's
a bar.
Right. Yeah.
And he's going, the juicer, fantastic. The juice tiger. And Jack Lalanne. And then you'd have Mike. Do you remember Mike was the guy who used to present these infomercials? He always had a jumper on him.
Mike, I probably one of the few people that remember Mike actually demonstrating at the shows, you know, and he ended up on a lot of TV
shows.
The
guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. You call them the English motor mouths.
Yeah, they are the English.
They used to talk in hundreds and thousands. There was another good one there called Clin. And what it was like a slight abrasive in a yellow tin. So the demonstration they would have used was they'd ask an audience member for, you know, can I have a bit of copper, please? You know, so someone would pull out a 2p piece and hand it to the demonstrator. And he'd get a little bit of the cream from the Clin in the yellow tin. And he'd just go like, you know, twist it
magically
in between
the copper would shine.
Finger and his thumb. And all of a sudden it would come back to like mint condition, years and years of a copper turning brown. We all know what a 2p piece colour was, like this dark ugly brown colour, and it would just be shining.
But
like
there'd be scams at those shows, and I've seen the scams and operations, right? Just before we move on, there used to be like a crowd would be around the person, right? And the crowd,
like a plant in the audience,
the crowd would be set up by the plant, because the plant, all you need is one or two people to start looking, then everybody joins in, right? So they'd get a couple of plants to pretend to be looking, and then everybody else would join in, right?
Mm.
And then the plant would always be the first one to go, here, I'll take one of them. And everyone else go looking at the plant going, oh, well, if he wants it, it must be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was set up. Okay, here's a story here. So my wife shares every argument with her friends.
Oh, from I don't a guy. Know how I feel about that.
He says that whenever they argue, his wife immediately screenshots their messages, sends it to her WhatsApp group with her six friends. That's a bit much, isn't it?
Do you know what?
Yeah.
That's very disloyal to her husband, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I mean, why would you do that if you're having a bit of a, you know, screenshot and send it to her friends straight away?
Mm.
Like, that's, what are you doing that for?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Now, and I'm not just saying this because you're here together. We have a few disagreements every now and again, but we don't really have those. You know those arguments that you hear fellas saying, oh, she hasn't spoken to me in over 2 days.
I've never been there, so I actually don't know.
Or the other thing is, you couldn't go, I couldn't go to bed on an argument.
Mm.
Like, you know the situation where people, she's in the spare room tonight, or they're lying back to back in bed, not for comfort reasons, because they're not speaking to each other. Like, what would happen if one of you had a heart attack?
What's the point in having a relationship if it's like that?
What happens if one of you has died?
What do you mean?
And you were having an argument. And the last thing you said to her was, fuck off, I hate you.
Oh, well, that wouldn't be very good, would it?
No, and he had an hour. And then when he has died, like, and you didn't really hate her, obviously.
We've never spoken to each other.
No,
like
I know
that.
I'm just saying.
You know, but listen, honesty is the best policy. And I think to be strictly honest from the get-go, in which you and I actually were strictly honest with each other from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. The good, the bad and the ugly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything. And it's incredible how you have that fabulous freedom within a relationship. Everything else comes after that. You know, just the honesty is very important.
Yeah, because what bothers me a little bit at the moment is that I've got people I know throughout the years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who are not the most honest people in the world when it comes to relationships.
Yeah.
And I end up in a moral dilemma. I know it's not illegal. It's called a crime, according to America, a crime of moral turpitude.
Yep.
Yeah, and they ask you, by the way, still, when you're applying for your ESTA every year, when you're going on holidays to America, they ask one of the questions as well as, are you going to commit terrorist acts in the United States? Or are you going to, are you a part of a terrorist organisation, or do you have communicable diseases?
You're just not going to take that.
Like. Yeah, you're not going to take those boxes. But one of the questions is, have you committed a crime of moral turpitude? And people always go, how is that?
What's that?
Yeah, it's a crime that's it's something that's considered not illegal, but morally wrong, like owing somebody money.
And not paying it back.
And not paying it back.
Yeah.
Or,
I know a few people like
that. Yeah, or infidelity.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you see, it's
and I know people who have been unfaithful. Like, I had a mate years ago and, like, he was constantly riding around on his missus. And she was really nice. And it was really awkward as if I ever went anywhere with them or if I met them.
That must have been awful for you, though.
Yeah, no, it is, because you're looking at her going, stuck. Everybody else knows he's a, you know, womanizer, except
you're
you.
You're in a dilemma there, aren't you? So, because you like them both.
So I did say to him, look, either you tell her or I'll tell her.
Yeah.
I won't say. And then he fell out with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And did you tell her?
No, I didn't in the end. I feel bad now. I didn't. Probably should have.
Well, you probably would now.
I did. I told a woman once that her husband was cheating.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. I would have to say. No, but that's only if I was quite sure now. I wouldn't.
Now, she ended up, here's the thing.
Don't take this sort of information secondhand off anybody. You know, you have to be sure before you say things like that.
But see, the problem is when you do that, what happens is you lose people. Because she fell out with me when I told her. This is another woman. So she fell out with me when I told her husband was cheating. But then about 6 months later, she came back and apologized to me. And she said, look, you were right, and I should have got rid of him at the time, and I found out myself. And
so she had the opportunity to apologise.
Yeah, and she did, and I'm still good friends with her now, you know.
And I mean, listen, that's great, because she had the opportunity to apologise to you, but I mean, imagine if you hadn't had that.
But when I told her initially, I was called all sorts of names.
And that's wrong, because what you're trying to do was,
I think she just...
She was in denial.
In denial.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but there's nothing worse, you know.
Yeah, would you snitch?
I would if I knew it was true, absolutely, yeah. Mm. Yeah, you have to. Because, like, look, I did actually find out a situation, which I discussed with you a few years ago, do you remember?
Mm.
And I said to you, you know, I have to tell.
Mm.
You know, because, I actually, as it happens, I didn't get the opportunity to tell this person. This was a lady in England. Do you remember the lady I was talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I felt in my gut of my heart of hearts, she deserves to know. She's a young woman in her late 40s and she deserves to know that her husband's
a scumbag.
A scumbag. And he's running around and she deserves that while her life is still young enough to enjoy. And she might get lucky like you and I did and find someone who really loves her and respects her.
Mm.
You know, sadly, I didn't get the chance to tell her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, moving on.
Right, well, we've 6 places to find hidden money. You might not believe this now, but there are actually...
I'm trying to think. Where would you find hidden money? Under the mattress. I don't know what the context is here. I remember somebody years ago was a builder.
Is there a few quid under the mattress?
Under the mat, not under ours, there isn't. Sorry, honey. None.
These are legitimate ways people in Ireland could be missing out on money, you know. So the first one is tax refunds from the revenue.
Ah,
now, thousands,
that hidden money, yeah.
Yeah, so thousands of people never claim tax credits that they're entitled to. So you could be owed money for medical expenses, rent tax credit, working from home, tuition fees, pension contributions. And you can usually claim for the previous 4 tax years through Revenues My Account on Ross. tennisnews.ie, I think it is, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a good one to check out on, because it's like, as I say, you might as well be in your pocket as opposed to the revenue's pocket, you know.
Yep.
Second one would be forgotten bank accounts. So I was a kid at a couple of bank accounts.
Yeah, I had a bank account on the Keys.
Mm-hmm.
Because I worked, I used to have a bank account beside the shop I used to work in up in Ormond Quay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so forgotten bank accounts would be old bank, building society, credit union, or on post accounts.
But see, in those days, you could have loads of bank accounts. You're not allowed
exactly.
anymore.
It's, yeah, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. And a lot of people have forgotten about these accounts, and they might think that, you know, oh, sure, Jesus, there wasn't much in it in the first place. But needless to say, it's a few quid. You never know what was in it, you know. Mm. These are accounts that haven't been used for 15 years
dormant accounts.
Or more, and they become dormant. But the money is still yours to claim, and it can be reclaimed.
Right.
Yeah, you can reclaim it at any time through the Central Bank of Ireland just by contacting them. The next one now on this is unclaimed life assurance policy. So life insurance policies, many people don't realise that they might be a beneficiary of an old
policy. I had one, you remember this, mm-hmm. going back a good few years ago, because I had actually taken out an assurance policy back in the 80s, but it was only a 5-year thing or something.
Exactly.
I think I only paid into it 5 years.
People,
and then I got a letter, do you remember about five, six years ago, saying they owe me money?
Of reasons. And I mean, even if the policy, again, if it's become dormant, beneficiaries or families can still make a claim on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just go to the dormant accounts fund.
I would have never known, except they sent me a letter and told me.
You were one of the lucky ones, because they don't normally tend to, inform you.
No.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
The next one there on the list would be government payments and grants. So a surprising number of people never apply for payments that they're entitled to. Now, in England, there's a website called entitledto.co.uk, and they really need to get their finger out in Ireland and do an Irish equivalent to this, because there's a lot of people struggling out
there.
There's
an opportunity for you there now.
There is an opportunity now. And I'm not saying, listen, we all know that certain people game the system and all of that jazz, but there are people out there who are genuinely struggling, and they haven't a clue what they are entitled to. They don't know the first thing about where do they go for this information and all the rest. So in this situation, it would be the fuel allowance, the working family payment, carer supports, disability payments, and back to school allowances and all the rest. So Citizens Information Bureau is a really good source of info there.
Yeah, but you'd like to have it all in one. I know Citizens Information have it all on their online website.
So in the UK, that entitled to?
You put your details in, it tells you what you're entitled to.
Basically, yeah. Now, you don't have to have any particular, you don't have to give your name or your address or anything like that. So you can be completely anonymous, and it will tell you, it'll ask you a couple of questions, and from that it will deduce what you're entitled to. It reckons you're entitled to, you know, and it'll prompt you to go to different links, etc. And then, of course, you have your home energy grants. Now, I know you have a bit of a bone to pick with those who use these, what you call them, solar panels on their houses and
they're
all the
ugly,
rest.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they don't look the best. One of the best ones I saw, and I have to say, I don't fancy solar panels on our roof, both front and back.
No.
So some people decide to put it on the front, some people decide to put it on the back, and they might gain a couple of credits from that. But Elon Musk came up with a fabulous invention. Now, I'd say it'll cost millions, so it's not really available to the likes of
the peasants,
of society like yourselves. You know, but what it was actual roof tiles that have the solar ability built into them.
So it looks like a regular roof.
Like a regular brand new roof on the house, and it's generating all this electricity for you. And
well, I imagine that would be the future to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't know whether solar panels and whether wind turbines and all that kind of gadgetry is the answer.
Mm.
I think they're going to have to come up with something better to replace fossil fuel.
But if you're upgrading or considering upgrading insulation, your windows, your heating, or installing those solar panels, you could actually qualify for grants worth thousands of euro through these government-backed schemes. So go to this.
Yeah, but you have to have money in the first place, don't you?
Yeah, well, do you ever see these house programs? You know,
if you want to make your house A-rated, for example, the government will give you
that
money.
That will cost a lot of money.
Yeah, but you have to pay.
There's great incentives there in the building at the moment. I suppose if you have a few quid and you're on the market for this sort of thing, you should really consider getting a couple of those grants.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, okay. Compare your bills would be the last one. So you always want to go to a place where, not accepting your yearly quote from the motor, my insurance is up in about 2 weeks' time, my car insurance, so I will be shopping around. They say you should shouldn't really stick with the same quote that you got from the same company last year. You know, it's
you should at least argue with them anyway.
Try and haggle with them, you know, see how far you get, and then tell them you'll come back to them.
Do you know what one clown said to me there? My insurance went up three years ago there. I was with a company, and it went from like 500 up to 600 or something like that, 700 or something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So I rang him up. This is about 3 years ago. And I says, what's the story? And he says, what do you mean? I says, well, it's the same car. It's just a year older. Mm-hmm. I'm just a year older. I still have a no claims bonus. If anything at all, the car is actually worth less, so it should be cheaper. And I said, you're charging me an extra 200 quid. I said, why? And he said, the war in Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
I said, there's something wrong with you.
That's mad, isn't it?
The war in Ukraine. Like, what's the war in Ukraine? Jeez. It's doing my insurance.
I know. It just beggars belief.
I'm not going to crash the car any quicker because Putin's invaded the country.
Insult people's intelligence level. Customer service has gone to the dogs.
It's Zelensky's fault, actually. He's a twat.
It's everyone's fault. It's always Zelensky's fault.
Yeah, he's a twat.
I thought he was a twerp, yeah?
A twerp and a twat.
But do you not agree? Customer service has gone to the dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, Irish people were famous for customer care, customer service. It's something I would be very passionate about.
Mm. And, yeah, I don't think there's great customer service in this country.
The dogs. Literally. Yeah. Do you think it's because a lot of people are working from home now, or?
Nah, I just think younger people who are mainly in the conservative service industry, it's mainly younger people. They're just not as nice as we were. I'm sorry.
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe people are going to have a go at me and say, oh, no, I don't be putting them on the one back. There are some nice kids, by the way, can I point out? There are some really good.
And I mean, there's nothing
nice. Yeah, but generally, they don't give a shit.
When you go to a shop or, you know, and you've a person there and they just say please and thank you.
Doesn't happen that often.
I saw a video the other day on Twitter, and it was a guy who worked behind a shop counter. Now, he was in a very poor area of America where he was constantly getting held up and whatever, you know, so it was a rough part, okay? But I think he got a pain in his neck with all of this. People were coming in, grabbing a bottle of Coke, throwing it on the counter, throwing the money at him. Let's say it was $2. Mm. They'd throw $1 at him and then expect him to foot the rest of it, and out the door they'd walk. Or they'd say, oh, we'll come back with it later on, and then, of course, they'd never come back. And, you know, he made this video of a couple of examples of these people coming and going. So there's one particular one where your man fired the money at him. Now, this is one of my pet hates. If you hand somebody,
I had a stand-up row with a girl in town over this.
And you hand them the money, and, you know, you say, well, there you go, thanks very much, or whatever, and you're waiting on their change, and they literally fire it back at you.
Onto the counter.
Onto the counter. And it's like, what?
No, I had a row. I told a girl one day, and I said,
matters.
I looked at her, and she went, there's your change. I said, you pick it up and hand it to me.
It's absolutely appalling. Yeah. I mean, why would you do that? Well, he decided to give them a taste of their own medicine, so he decided to start firing everything back at them. So whenever they were,
I've seen his videos on TikTok. I've seen his videos on TikTok.
I'll have to show it to you later. Yeah. It's you know, fair play to him is all I can say. You know, but we'd really need to up our customer service here. You know, if you want any tips, come to me.
Okay, one final story. Okay. My husband refuses to cut contact with his former girlfriend. The wife says her husband remains close to a woman he dated before they met, and they exchange messages, share private jokes, and occasionally meet for the odd coffee. He insists they are now simply just good friends and that his wife is just being jealous and controlling.
Right, well, you know, you can be platonic. You can have lots. You have lots of friends. I have lots of friends.
I have lots of female friends, but I don't have ex-girlfriends as female
friends. No, but, you know, an ex-girlfriend,
people you've slept with.
You don't want to go down that road.
You know, people you've been intimate with in the past. Listen,
you'd be kind of suspicious. I know if that was me, I'd be kind of suspicious saying, you know, well, hang on here. Are they at it again?
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the first thing that would come to mind.
Yeah.
You know, do you believe exes can't be mates?
No, they can't be. You can't be mates with an ex.
Yeah.
No, you just can't. Not if you're in a relationship. If you're single, of course, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you're in a relationship with you're now married and you start going off and having coffees with your ex, out the door.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really just not the dumb thing.
Doesn't work, does it?
You know. No, of course.
No, women and men. Don't get me wrong. I have more female friends than male friends.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it is. Maybe I think they're more loyal or something. I don't know. Maybe
they're not. Do you really believe that women are more loyal than men?
In my business, generally speaking, I find women are probably more diligent at doing the job.
Diligent at doing... What do you mean?
In radio, for example.
Right.
I've had one male producer. He was great, by the way, Mike. But I've had four female producers. And they were all kind of good-ish.
That's because they were good at their job. That's great.
Yeah. One in particular was great. But in saying that, I think women tend to be a bit more diligent.
Right, okay.
Men, now, as I said, Mike was great too. So maybe I'm being unfair in saying that. But I just have worked more with
you're
women.
You're absolutely incredible at what you do. And people don't know the half of what you really do. Look at you. Yeah, but they don't.
Thanks, darling.
You're welcome.
You're supposed to say, don't call me darling. No, I'm just an average person. That's all I am.
You are an average person who's very modest and doesn't get enough credit for what you do. But you are an amazing man and you have so many abilities. It blows my mind.
Head's getting bigger.
Almost 10 years, it blows my mind. Every day you surprise me with something else. Incredible.
I'll surprise you later with something else. On that note, we're going to wrap it up for this week's Don't Call Me Darling. Thank you to my beautiful wife, Karen.
Thank you.
And we shall talk to you next week.
Bye.